recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be watching another match of mine with Samoa Joe from TNA. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Kurt, I'm doing great, and it's good to see you. And man, listen, as this drops, you will just be about wrapping up, what, a week-long vacation with the family in Sarasota, Florida, my friend.
Yes, we had an excellent time. I absolutely loved it. We were on the beach, relaxing. It was a week of relaxation, nothing else. That's all we were going to do. We weren't going to try to go to all these different events. We're just going to relax and have a good time.
You said block away from the beach and relax. Like, and that's what I'm talking about. Not this crazy schedule here. It's here's the beach. Here's our house. Let's just go and have a nice time.
We weren't tourists. We were vacationers.
I got it. You're going to check out some nice places to eat, or are you just eating chicken snacks and protein shakes?
No, we have a bunch of restaurants down there. We went to a bunch of them. It was awesome.
Oh, sweet.
We had food everywhere. We had Italian. We had Indian, everything.
Oh, now I'm guilty. I'm not Paul Angle Jr. or, you know, not an adopted child of Kurt Angle. That sounds amazing, man. And you deserve it. Nice family week away, and I hope you enjoyed yourself. It's that time of year, man, the summertime, a lot of people going on vacation, but we're figuring it out and we're making sure that we bring weekly content. Go ahead. You had something to say.
You know what? This is what really gets to me. Why do we go on vacation in summer when there's winter and you want to get away during the winter? In summer, it's hot everywhere, so you don't really have to go on vacation.
Well, just the problem is your kids are school.
Okay.
Out of school. So that's where we're at there. So summer works out well. But winter, man, I want to get away from the cold too. And that's why you see all the old timers, once their kids are grown, they're like, see ya, we're going down south.
Oh, we go on vacation in the winter
too. I know you do. I know, around Christmas time.
Go for a week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. All right. Well, hey, listen, let's jump into it. And, we got a lot to talk about this week. We're continuing to look back at your TNA days. And, this is 2012. We did that watch along a few weeks back with Frankie, which, by the way, man, we got a lot of good reviews from that show with Frankie.
Yes, yep. Yes.
And so I'd figure, hey, let's keep going with it and discuss in 2012. You have this great tag match. And from there, you're going to go right into the Bound for Glory series, Kurt. What did you think of the Bound for Glory series format?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I think it was a great way to tell a story coming up to Bound for Glory, having a tournament. And I just thought it was a great idea. I know it was a lot longer than it should have been. I mean, I think it went about 6 weeks, the whole Bound for Glory series. So it wasn't like a few TVs before the pay-per-view. It was like a big buildup for a month and a half.
Yeah. And man, do you think though, Kurt, looking back at it now, was it too long a tournament to keep people's attention considering Bound for Glory's all the way in October?
You know what? I don't know. I think it was a great concept. I think it was good for TV to have this tournament and the buildup. So I think, you don't want to wait too long, but I think, when you go about 6 to 7 weeks to build up for a pay-per-view like you do for WrestleMania, I think it's a good idea. So I didn't mind it being longer like that.
Dude, I got to admit something, okay? I was confused, and I'm a little slow. We know that. It's well documented here on the show. But I would get a little confused by the point system. Was that hard for you to keep track of? What would you think of that deal?
Well, I think it was submissions are 10 points. The wins are 5 or 7. I
can't even remember at this
point. The tie is 2 or 3. So, if you're good at math, I think you'd be good at counting the points.
Yeah.
Obviously, you suck at math.
Yeah, but I know. Listen, it was one of those things that it was just, I guess probably here's what it is. It's something new. right? And anytime you have something new or introduce it to the fan base, it's probably going to be give it a little bit of time to get over and people to figure it out.
You know what? I think they probably should have explained it better over and over again, not just one time, but every week. This is the point system. This is how you win. This is what you get when you win. This is what you get when you lose. You know, I think you need to continue to explain it every week.
Yeah. Well, listen, Kurt, the Impact After Destination X has an 11-man rumble of all the participants that are going to be in the series. And here we go. Here is all who is involved. It's you. You got AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Magnus, who we now know, Nick Aldis, Bully Ray, Rob Van Dam, Pope, James Storm, Robbie E., Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe.
Okay, question. What do you get if you win it?
I don't even, yeah. What?
So why have it?
Exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I get you. Exactly.
Like, I have no idea why we did that. You know, the Battle Royal or whatever you want to call it, the Royal Rumble or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Did it you like make sense because James Storm won and what did he get?
Yeah.
Nothing. A big nothing. Zero.
Well, we now know why TNA had some serious issues back then, Kurt. I mean, you had so many studs.
They were pretty good.
Listen, they had so many. Did you hear the names I read? Jeff Hardy, AJ. These are like Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Did you like working Battle Royals? Be honest.
They were easy. I mean, you know, they weren't much of a challenge for me. The only thing you had to do is have an incredible memory. Because you have to make sure you don't
and back then you
eliminate
did. You
were, the person yeah. out of order. Yeah, but other than that, it's pretty easy. It's an easy match.
How about the Rumble format? Were always a fan of that?
You're running down to the ring every 2 minutes. Yeah. I like that better than everybody in the ring all at the same time. I do like that because you're showcasing each individual. And I like that.
Well, Kurt, listen, at some point during the match, AJ went for an enziguri on Daniels who moved and he hits you. You guys are tag champions for 4 days. Why was there already thoughts on breaking you two up at this point?
Well, I think AJ and I were put together to be a formidable tag team for Kaz and Daniels because they were the guys. They were the guys that were holding the title. They were the guys that the company was building around to be the tag team champions. And AJ and I were singles wrestlers, and they put us together, which I thought was a great idea. And we had, tag matches. And so, you know, having AJ and I together, we won the match and we became champions, but they didn't want us to hold the title very long. It was just another program for Kaz and Daniels. That's what we were there for.
Yeah. And hey, this would lead to Daniels throwing out AJ and then he threw out you. But were you surprised that they didn't do more with Christopher Daniels and Impact?
Oh, yeah. He was the best kept secret in the company. That kid could do anything. I'm not going to lie to you about this. He was just about every bit as good as AJ was. He really did. He was a heavyweight wrestler. He was an X division wrestler. He could talk on the microphone just as good as anybody else. He had all the skills to be a main event wrestler for the WWE. He really did. And I'm not sure why it never occurred for him, but Chris was always underutilized no matter where he went.
Yeah, now he does a lot of behind-the-scenes work for AEW, Ring of Honor, and he's pretty active there. Were you excited to be tag champs with AJ? I got to think you were.
Oh, yeah. You know what? AJ and I, we were a formidable team. I mean, we had such a different style. You know, he had the more high-flying style. And I had more of a
it complemented each other.
It did. And we were really good for each other. And I would have loved to have tagged with AJ for a year. It just wasn't going to happen because the company needed us as singles wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, listen, as you said earlier, James Storm gets the big win. He's got a big beer celebration afterwards, comes across like a huge star.
Oh, that's what he got for the win.
The big beer bash. But again, here's another guy that I think Impact, you know, could have done more with, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, James did win the world championship, and I feel badly about this. He won in 5 seconds because he had to wrestle me, and I blew up my hamstring and I couldn't wrestle that night. So he just super kicked me and won. It wasn't the way he wanted to become world champion. And unfortunately, I don't think he became world champion after that. So he only had it one time. And I think that James deserved to have it a few times. He was that good.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. From The Observer, backstage, Angle yelled at Styles for kicking him in the head and losing his focus. He said that Styles needs to get Daniels out of his head or they'll lose the tag titles. Styles promised to get focused. So AJ and Christopher Daniels, they've been a rivalry before even you got there, Kurt. How good were their matches together? You just said that you felt like Daniels was almost like a replica of AJ.
He was, and they were flawless. These matches were so incredible. They weren't just heavyweight matches. They had a mixture of X division, high flying. They had a lot of technique. These matches were some of my favorite matches to watch. Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles, you don't get much better than that.
No, you're absolutely right. The next week on Impact, Robbie E comes out, and he said that he's was the most jacked and had the best tan in the dressing room. He challenged anyone to come out from the back, and here comes Kurt Angle. He hits him with three German suplexes, an Olympic slam, and got the ankle lock for the submission in 32 seconds. It was noted Angle got 10 points for his win. There you go, Kurt. You got 10 points.
Got 10 points.
But buddy, this is like a night off for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 32 seconds. Gosh. But Robbie was so easy to work with. He was light on his feet. You know, I would have loved to have wrestled him in a 20-minute match. He was that good. I would have loved to be able to spend more time with Robbie. It just never happened. But at least I got in the ring with him once.
And it seems now, like I just saw him on NXT the other night, he's more of a mouthpiece role.
Yeah, he's a manager, mouthpiece. Yeah. And I like him there. He's really talented. He can talk. He can wrestle. He has a great look. The kid has it all.
Yeah, I got to see him several years ago when he was Rob Echoes on the indie scene, and I thought, man, he's talented.
He is, man. He really is. I was really surprised they didn't push him harder when he was doing the whole what's it called?
It was kind of like the Jersey Shore type thing.
Jersey Shore, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes by Robert Stone now in NXT. But again, talented guy on the mic, and I'm a big fan of his work.
I love his dance when he was.
Can you do it for us? Go ahead. We'll get some YouTube subscribers.
With that music, the music was hilarious.
Look at you. We got to start getting you to do some physical comedy on this show, you know? Just to drive people to watch you on video, because I'm entertained by it every week. The next week on Impact, as we continue to build to this match, Daniels and Kazarian beat Angles and Styles to regain the tag titles in 11:46. The storyline here, Kurt, was that Kazarian and Daniels not getting along and Kaz not wanting to be there. Styles botched a Hurricane Rana off the apron. Angle did a series where he did three German suplexes in a row on Daniels. Did you ever not do like three German suplexes in a row? Like every note
I read. Go for three. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I do.
Yeah. Well, you did another three here and then did another three to Kazarian, because why not? You're just handing them out. Kazarian tried the Amore driver. Angle reversed it into the ankle lock. Referee Brian Hebner got bumped. Daniels clothesline Angle over the top. Then came one of those finishes that I hate because it's the booker. I want to fool the fans on a finish, so it makes no sense. And I think this is from The Torch. Aside from the facts, this was so predictable to begin with. Then what's wrong with it making sense? Daniels had a chair and Kazarian took it from him. Styles hit the Pele kick on Daniels. Kazarian flipped off Daniels and told Styles to pin him. Then Kazarian hit Styles with a chair and Daniels pinned him. Do you think there was more to do with you guys as a tag team here, Kurt? You guys are the champions. I feel like they could have done so much more with you two.
Well, you know what? This whole swerve thing they did, it wasn't that bright. Christopher Daniels, Kaz flipping off Daniels, like, go ahead, pin him, AJ, and tricking AJ into pinning, when AJ wouldn't even got down unless Kaz left the ring. So it was a weird way to finish the match. And unfortunately for AJ and I, it was the end of our tag team reign. I would have loved to go with AJ for a year. But I already knew it wasn't going to happen because we were there solely to make Daniels and Kaz. We were there to have a great matches with them, have a program with them, and then go back to our singles wrestling. And they were going to continue to be tag team champions and go on to somebody else. So I knew from the get-go that AJ and I wouldn't be together long.
Yeah.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Hey, this is Missy Hyatt, the Walking Riot, and I say that you need to save with Conrad. Jim Ross told me, you need to go with Conrad, he'll save you money. And he did. Well, it was a refinance because I owned the house, but I owned the house with my two siblings and I was buying them out. So now they're out of there and I've got the house. And I paid off my Jeep. I got my bathroom redone, the master bath redone, and paid off some credit cards, and it was like the cat's pajamas. I just liked that everybody knew what they were doing. And if I had a question, it was answered. Yeah, you guys helped me out great. When I refinanced it and paid off everything, and paid off my Jeep, and did my bathroom, and I think my payment was only $8 more a month, I probably saved at least over $30,000. It was exciting. I mean, this is the first house I've ever purchased by myself. They make everything so easy for you, and you don't have to think about anything, and they'll get it all done. Go to Save with Conrad if you want to refi your mortgage or anything with your mortgage. Just go to Save with Conrad.
Well, you dropped the titles, a lot of ref bumps again. That sounds like a TNA thing. We've talked about it
before.
Yes,
it is. Ref bumps. Sometimes they do way too much and get very little out of it.
Yeah, a lot of swervy stuff here. But here we go, Kurt. You're in the news from an interview around this time that you did with Mike Mooneyham. And you discuss Vince and how you haven't talked to him since you left in 2006. But a lot of what you discuss is the Olympics. And I'm going to recap it for you. Regarding the Olympics, Angle said, as far as competing in the trials, I would have done very well. The training, the getting there, that was the hard part. I overdid it. I blew out my hamstring, my shoulder, my Achilles tendon, and my knee. Good God. It was ongoing. It just wasn't meant to be. I would have done very well as far as competing. I think I would have been the best opponent for Jake Varner, who will be on the U.S. squad in the 211-pound weight class. Outside of these injuries, Kurt, how close do you think that you were to being Olympic ready at this point in your career?
Not even close.
Look at your face. I could tell.
I tried, man. And my biggest mistake is I tried to wrestle for TNA while I was training for the Olympics.
Yeah.
There's no way that was going to happen. I tried to make it happen, but it was just too much for me. I was training my ass off for 4 hours a day at home, going on the road and wrestling for TNA 3 or 4 or 5 days a week. It was just too much for my body to take. And unfortunately, there was no chance I was going to go. So I got injured so much that I had to quit. But if I would have taken time off like I was planning to in WWE back in 2002 to get ready for the Olympics in 2004, if I would have taken time off, I believe I would have done pretty well. I don't know if I would have beat Jake Varner, but I think I would have done really well.
Hmm. Well, they continue on with the article. They said, when asked about the 2016 games, he responded, "Are you nuts? Are you out of your mind? I'll be 47. No way. I learn from my mistakes." Well, the article.
Not really.
Yeah. Well, the guy who wrote the article said, "Well, hopefully that's settled." In 2002, when he toyed with the idea of trying for 2004, he talked about taking a hiatus from wrestling for more than a year to get ready, but ultimately he didn't do it. So, Kurt, how close were you in 02 to 04 in doing it?
Oh, I was real close. I was going to take a year off. Already talked about it with Vince McMahon. The problem was I broke my neck again.
Mm.
And that was it. There was no more. No chance for me doing it.
Yep. And so there you go. That's easy. They go on to say a funny line Kurt said, only because it talks about perception, is how TNA is now banking on younger stars to carry the company. The names he mentioned were Christopher Daniels, who's 41, Kaz, who turns 35 in a few weeks, and Bobby Roode, who's 35. But, you know, listen, that's just I guess there's a perception too that TNA is still at this point, it is newer brand. And when you think about newer, it's more newer versus age, right?
Well, it's newer, but these guys never made it to the main event level.
Yes.
These guys deserve to be there. So when I talk about young stars, I'm talking about guys that are coming up through the ranks, not particularly their age, but where they are on the card. And these guys deserve to be at the top, and they weren't there yet.
Well, we move on, Kurt. And the names that you mentioned, by the way, as you said, they've never been presented in a big way prior to, you know, AEW, WWE, et cetera. Were you expecting to have the pay-per-view off since you don't really have a story? I mean, you just dropped the titles.
No, because TNA would never.
They needed you for everything.
So I was cool with that. I always wanted to wrestle for TNA, so.
Well, listen, all of a sudden, it's announced that your second match in the Bound for Glory series will take place at Destination X, and you'll be taking on your old rival, our friend, Samoa Joe. Were you surprised this was going to happen this soon in the series, and should this have been held off for longer or what?
You know what? It didn't really matter as long as I got to wrestle Joe. I didn't care if it was at the beginning or at the end, but I also knew I wasn't going to win. Joe was going to move on to the next round. So I was just there to, you know, to put him over. So I was cool with it.
Well, Kurt, let's check it out. We love it. TNA episodes here specifically for our YouTube followers, because you get to watch the match along with us filter free, which we like. So I'm going to kick us off. You ready to watch this together today?
Sir, let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Introducing first, from the Isle of Samoa, the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe!
You know, JB, people always ask me on Twitter, at Real Mike Today, about my favorite matches that I've called through the years. It's so difficult to narrow that down. I will say that Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, to me, it's the best rivalry that I have seen in 10 years of TNA, and it's time to write the latest chapter in that storied rivalry. Who'll ever forget the headbutt heard all around the world?
And his opponent from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle!
And who will ever forget Genesis 2006, when Samoa Joe's 18-month winning streak came to an end courtesy of this man, Kurt Angle, and his ankle lock. We saw the updated leaderboard in the Bound for Glory series.
And that is his daughter and son, Cody and Kira, here tonight. Obviously at ringside with...
Look how young and cute they were.
I know.
My goodness.
Now they're big brats.
Oh, man. I just can't. I mean, I just saw Cody a few weeks ago out in Vegas, but he is so little. Unbelievable.
Carolina, when Kurt Angle forced the Pope to submit, he picked up 10.
Dude, this is one of those matches. It didn't matter when, the story, anything. Fans, look, you see the fan who has Joe versus Angle, like what, 8 or whatever, right, however many times it is that you write. Like, it didn't need a story. Yeah, 8.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I can't believe they were keeping tabs.
Yeah, they were keeping track, but it didn't matter. It was just you two fighting in a ring, sold tickets. People wanted to see it. It was that good.
Well, you know, I started my career in TNA off with Samoa Joe. So,
yep.
I knew at the beginning how valuable Joe was to the company, him being undefeated for 172 matches. And it was a huge honor to be able to beat him. I was the first person to beat him. in TNA, which I didn't think I should have been. I think I should have waited, but that's what they wanted at that particular time.
And as I watch you tie up with him, it's like tying up with a grizzly bear, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? Joe's so damn good. He gives you room. He gives you space. He's really, you know what? Samoans have been really good at pro wrestling. They all understand it. They're all incredible athletes. They understand the whole theater that comes with it. It's just, they get it. They all get it. They're all incredible.
And we talk about you with intensity, but man, that's Joe to a cap with a capital
R. Joe is the most intense wrestler I've wrestled besides Chris Benoit. He really is.
As I watch you two, I can't help but recall you wrestling Orton on last week's show, and you were saying just how it was difficult maneuvering him around because of how lanky and tall he was. And then I look at Joe, completely different style. Yep. He's coming at you. He's running towards you constantly, built like that bear, if you will. And, but man, you were able to adapt to all these guys.
Yeah, but Joe was real light on his feet. As big as he was 300 pounds.
It was easier to maneuver Joe, you'd say, than Orton?
Yeah, it was. And Joe, Joe is shorter. You know, he's 6 foot one. He's not 6'6". Randy's lankier, so it's, you have that lankiness about you that gives you more range, and it's harder to move around.
I want to talk to you about the punches he just delivered to you in the corner with such velocity and force. As a fan watching it, that's what you see. You see power, impact. I see him still do it. He just did it in a match a couple weeks ago in Collision, the debut with CM Punk coming back. And that,
you know what? Those punches always look good too.
Dude, it's impressive. But you're not taking, tell me about it.
They're not even stiff. You can barely feel them. It's crazy.
That's incredible.
And that boot he does when he gets up and kicks you in the face, he doesn't touch you there either. Look, he has so much finesse. It's incredible.
But he has so much finesse, but also delivering realism to those watching from home.
Yes, he does. He's very real.
And I think that's the magic of Samoa Joe. I tell you one thing that I've noticed that he does now a lot, and that's some of the chop exchanges with people. And when he delivers a chop, it's brutal.
Oh, Joe has some hard chops. He definitely does. I always hated when he gave me them too.
Look at you. Dude, you're an athletic beast back then yourself.
No, I was okay.
Oh my God. Can you believe that needs to be clipped and shared? You're okay. Joe, look at that. Yeah. For a man his size flying outside of the ring, delivering that blow.
You know, that's what's amazing about him. You know, he was in the X division. I mean, this guy can do just about anything.
He's an amazing athlete, still going strong. And look, moves like this, Kurt. Okay, so you're getting flipped over the top and landing. But then a move like this, 2012, we're sitting here 11 years later, right? Yeah. And he's still doing his thing in AEW.
And you know what's crazy? He has a bum knee. His knee is not good. It's never been good. It bothers him all the time. And you know what? He never shows it when he wrestles.
Even back in this day, it did.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Impressive individual, Samoa Joe. I get more and more respect for a guy like this as I go back and watch his earlier days to see what he's doing.
I appreciate him more every time I watch him wrestle. I really do.
Mm.
This match makes me appreciate him more.
Look, he's rocking the old mohawk here.
I know. He looks like a badass. You know, the first time I met Joe, it was at a bar. I walked in. I signed with TNA, and it was the night before I made my debut. And he's over there in the corner. He has this whiskey and I look at him and he just has this mug, like badass mug. I'm like, nobody's going to fuck with this guy.
He does. He has that look.
Badass. And sitting in the bar alone, it was scary. He was in a dark area just all by himself.
As we continue to watch this, I'm going to go over some of the highlights that were documented here. And we'll talk about it a little bit more. So here we go. It's Destination X. This is, by the way, if you're going back to the Impact app, which we would love you to do and sign up and use Kurt as the code, it's July 8th, 2012 is where you can watch this. Samoa Joe beats Kurt Angle in 14 minutes and 26 seconds with a choke. The most interesting part of this is that when the tournament started, they pushed the idea of the time limits only being 10 minutes and had time limit draws this year and last. Then they moved it to 15 minutes, probably because if these two had to do a pay-per-view match in less than 10 minutes, both they and the fans would feel unsatisfied and cheated. I'm adding the word cheated. But even though they did finish with 34 seconds left, at no point was the time limit broached in the announcement, commentary, or anything. Kurt, did TNA have the announcers discuss the story you had laid out with you, or was that not something that TNA did often?
No, they didn't do it very often. So, you know what? I don't even know what you're talking about when you just said what you said
with the time limit deal.
Yeah. Yeah. What did they mean by, the announcers? Like
they said, I was just curious about the announcers discuss the story you had laid out with you, or like, did they know, were they aware of kind of where you guys were headed with the match, or what to kind of make sure they're telling or conveying to us at
home? The question I'm asking is, what did the time limit have to do with anything and us getting time cues?
Yeah. Oh, where they were saying that the guy outside or the announcer never hinted around that you were getting close, like 5 minutes left in the contest, 5 minutes left.
Gotcha. So wasn't he told not to?
He must have been told not to, because no, it wasn't even brought up in commentary or anything.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you should have that or you should not. That's a catch 22.
They just had an MJF Adam Cole match that expired on AEW, Kurt, and they never they did say a time limit at the beginning, but never brought it up. And all of a sudden the bell rang at the end and it was a draw.
Oh, that had to hurt.
Yeah, I saw that. So
No. I mean, you're talking about MJ.
Oh, yeah. They never brought it, but it expired.
So the match just ended. The fans were like,
yep, we have come to a time limit draw.
Okay, I think that's where you have to have some time cues. But the thing is, how do you, if you're going to have a draw and you have time cues, and if you're not going to have a draw and you don't have time cues, then everybody that has time cues knows it's going to be a draw. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. It makes sense. Yeah. Well, listen, I'll continue on with what they had here before we both talk ourselves into not understanding what we're talking about, which I think we're already there.
I don't understand
there.
What I just said.
Yeah, well, I don't either. I think we need to, I don't know, take a drink of something. I mean, you don't do that. You take a drink of protein. They had a dramatic addition to the story and worked a match that both would establish the time limit and the finish, and they didn't touch it. So here we go. We're going to continue this on. Joe had in the past gotten mad about time calls and matches because they are never, Joe's feelings has been, that doing them signals that the match is going to be a time limit. But since it's a specific part of the rules, doing at least a 10-minute warning or a 12-minute warning to acknowledge the time limit adds to the match. It both gets over when you do a finish stronger, plus you don't have this bell ring out of nowhere and everyone confused when you're doing the draw. It wasn't the best Joe versus Angle match, but it was still very good. So, Kurt, let's wrap this up on the time calls. Did you want time calls? Did you not? Apparently, Joe had an opinion on it. Did you care?
I guess Joe didn't like time calls, right?
No, he didn't.
I like them because I like to know where we are in the match and how much time we have left. So, but you can get cues from the referee, so yeah, you don't really need to say it with the announcer. So I understand why Joe would think that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds like it is. It's part of wrestling. What's the word that I'm looking for here? It's, I don't even know. My brain's totally psychology. Yes, there it is. My brain's totally fried, Kurt.
You idiot.
Wrestling psychology. It's the psychology and the storytelling of the match. The review says, idiot, Samoa Joe beat Kurt Angle in 14:36 in the Bound for Glory series, winning via choke, which a submission meant a 10-point win. Mike Tenay said Joe versus Angle was the best rivalry in TNA history. Do you agree with that, Mike Tenay?
Yes, I do. I'm going to put AJ Styles up there too, me and AJ. But Samoa Joe and myself, yeah. I came in wrestling Samoa Joe, and I think that rivalry was the hottest rivalry, definitely.
Crowd started the dueling chants right away. Angle took a high backdrop and went over the top rope to the floor, which we saw. He looks so out of control when he takes that move. It's scary, according to the feedback here. Joe followed with an elbow suicida. Angle actually did a missile drop kick to Joe's back. Angle opened a small cut on his own forehead with a headbutt. Angle went to the top for a belly-to-belly superplex, but Joe boxed his ears. Joe then came off the top rope with a leg lariat for the near fall. Joe followed with a reverse atomic drop. It's all what we're watching here. A high kick, a senton, and a power slam before going for the armbar. Look, here he is. Boom, the muscle buster. How about taking one of those, Kurt?
You know what? It's not so bad. You would think it is, especially having a neck injury like I did, but you don't even feel it. It's not a bad move to take.
And we'll pick up with the notes here. He delivered a uranage and then the muscle buster. He went for the choke, but Angle reversed him into an ankle lock. Angle pulled Joe to the center, but Joe used the trunks to break the hold and got behind Angle and put on the choke with a body scissors. Angle was using elbows to the thigh, but couldn't get Joe off. That bear had you trapped. Finally, Angle got to his feet, hit the Olympic slam, and got a near fall. Angle tried the ankle lock again, but Joe kicked him off. Angle went for the Olympic slam again, but Joe got behind him and got the choke. This time, Joe choked Angle all the way out. And referee, that's right, we're watching the stud, one of the studs of all time, Earl Hebner, ref this match. He stopped the match. Angle gets up to protest saying, "I never tapped." They played it up that Angle had passed out and not that Hebner screwed him on the call. This one got 3¾ stars. So let's listen to it as we start to get into some of this wrap-up here.
Rear naked choke is applied. Kikina clutch. Samoa Joe. He's got the rear naked choke. He's got his legs wrapped around Kurt as well. Kurt thinking about tapping. You can sense his hand right there. Is he going to tap? Oh, Kurt fighting through the pain.
All right, Joe just has that cinched in.
Joe's got the firm grip. Kurt doing everything within his power to try and break it. But Joe right on top of him. And not only Samoa Joe with the choke, but putting all of his weight on Kurt, who digs down deep and Angle comes back. Angle slam. Could be Kurt's pin. Cover. Here we go.
Both men throwing everything in their arsenal at each other.
It has been just what you would anticipate in this storied rivalry with so much at stake in the Bound for Glory series. Straps come down, and if there's any way for Kurt to turn it up another notch, that's what he's going to do. Oh my, what a kick by Joe right into the face of Kurt. Again. Joe up, able to slide over this time. No Angle slam instead. It's Joe back with the rear naked choke.
And Angle trying for the roll through and in the process took himself down to the ground. Not where you want to be when you're in this move. Look at that. Look at the situation Kurt Angle is in.
Referee Earl Hebner right on top of the scene.
Joe has that left arm hooked as well. That means Kurt only has his right hand free to try and bust that choke.
Kurt fighting. Doing everything within his power. But boy, Samoa Joe has had it on for a long time.
He has it locked in.
Cinched in so tight to Samoa Joe. And Earl Hebner calls for the bell.
Kurt Angle went several seconds there without even moving. And that's the sign you're out. That's the sign you've got nothing left. And Kurt Angle hasn't moved since.
Your winner, Samoa Joe!
Kurt Angle may not have tapped out, but in the opinion of our senior official, Earl Hebner, Angle had passed out to the point where Kurt was not responding. And I think in Earl's opinion, he called a halt to the match and stopped it for Kurt's safety as Kurt has a complaint. Yeah. and Earl explaining his point of view to Kurt Angle.
It's obviously a tough decision for Earl Hebner, but when there's no, when there's just no response, what else can you do but call for the bell?
Kurt, we'll chunk that up to something that we're not used to seeing here on the Kurt Angle Show, you passing out to lose.
Or losing for that point.
No, that's a good point. What'd you think rewatching this match? Were you happy with it?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was physical. I loved the submission trade-offs. The angle slams and the muscle busters told a really good story, and it told a story of fighting our asses off to get the win, both of us. That was a really good match.
And again, we've talked about this a lot, and we talked about it last week because of you and Randy's match at the beginning of a pay-per-view. This match in the middle of the card. But this is like main event any other show you're watching. What do you think of that?
Joe and I, we never did anything but main event except for this match, this show.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is weird. But, you know, that's where we were on the card. And it was a Bound for Glory series match. So it was what it was. It wasn't the main event.
Hey, guys, it's the hardcore legend Mick Foley here, and I need to call a quick timeout, a brief timeout, because I wanted to tell your listeners what I have been telling Foley is Pod listeners for a while now about all the cool things happening over on adfreeshows.com.
David Crockett and Conrad go day by day through June of 1985 in Jim Crockett Promotions on the latest episode of The Book. The month that the grandson of a plumber arrived.
June 30th, Cody Rhodes is going to be born. I mean, his dad is wrestling with Tully Blanchard in Los Angeles, and Dusty's got to hurry home and rush out of there and get home to Charlotte to see his wife, Michelle, give birth to the American Nightmare. It's a special day in Jim Crockett Promotions history.
Jake the Snake Roberts chatted live with Ad Free Shows members about his Hall of Fame career and a story about Ron Garvin you won't soon forget.
You know, everybody's got a tale, you know, so you know if they do that, then here comes his comeback. You know what Ronnie Garvin's tale was? His nipples would get hard. Swear to God, man. His nipples would get rock hard. When his nipples got rock hard, man, he was coming to his feet and he's going to beat your ass.
Just a small taste, a sampling, if you will, of what we have waiting for you with four levels to choose from. Four. See for yourself why Ad Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now, right now, at adfreeshows.com. Yeah.
Listen, last week we talked about your last pay-per-view match in WWE in 2006 until 17. Buddy, this is the last time you'd face Joe one-on-one at a pay-per-view for TNA ever.
Wow, because I was still in the company for four more years.
Isn't that surprising to hear, though?
That is surprising because I thought I wrestled Joe a bunch of more times after that. Obviously, I did, but not at a pay-per-view.
Not at a pay-per-view for TNA, one-on-one. So after this match, Kurt, AJ and Daniels would face off in a last man standing match, which AJ would win an Ultimate X match, and then Austin Aries defeated Bobby Roode to become the new TNA champion. Were you surprised that they put the belt on Austin Aries?
No, it was his time. You know, we made a new wrestler. Austin was coming up through the ranks at this particular time. He was fresh, and I liked the way they pushed him. They didn't take their time with him. They really elevated him quickly, and he deserved that. He is a great wrestler. He's a little arrogant. He's a little bit of a prick. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of like it, to be honest with you, but
yeah, he has an edge.
Austin is you know, he can be annoying, but that's part of him. That's part of his character. That's who he is.
And it's an even bigger deal, Kurt, because it would end Rude's 256-day reign. I mean, that's one of the
Bobby
longest
had
reigns.
The longest reign, right?
It's one of the longest in TNA's history. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad it was Austin. He was really good and he deserved it.
So there you go. We got some fan questions, Kurt, as we start to wrap things up this week. So let's do some of those. Dylan is up first and he says, does Kurt think Bobby Roode has been underutilized? in WWE. Now, listen, right now he's recovering from some major injuries and surgeries, but overall he's been there for a while. He was red hot as an NXT champ, but since he's made it to the main roster,
they haven't given him a chance yet.
I know.
He was good in NXT. He was being pushed, utilized properly, not in WWE. Unfortunately for Bobby, I don't know if they're ever going to do it. That's what really sucks, yeah. Because Bobby's at the age now, I think he's like, what, in his mid-40s.
Yeah, got to be.
I don't know if he can wrestle much longer, but I hope they do give him the push he deserves.
Yeah, because you know what? Great worker, solid, everything that you've seen from what he did in TNA, NXT, glorious. His whole entrance, the robe, it was
so good. Oh, I love it, yeah.
It was so good.
It's perfectly.
Does Kurt think Samoa Joe is one of the more underrated talents in pro wrestling? He had such a high ceiling in WWE, but they never seemed to use him to his full potential.
Well, you know what? Joe, he got utilized properly in TNA at the beginning. And until he lost his undefeated streak against me, his value dropped dramatically. They never really picked back up and brought Joe back to the level he was when he was undefeated. And I think that carried on over to the WWE. And I think that WWE could have done more with him. They did do some. They did a lot. But I know they could have done more. He was that talented. I'm not sure if it had to do with his look. I love his look. I think that everybody should be different. Big, tall, short, wide. Doesn't matter. But I don't know if it had to do with his look. But Samoa Joe was so talented. He deserved to be a WWE champion. He really did. And that's not me blowing smoke. That's me being honest.
Hey, and he's you said intense, always moving forward in the ring, coming at you. I thought he had very good mic skills. He could dip down on the mic.
He was so articulate. I mean, that guy, he did my Hall of Fame speech, and I never heard a better speech than what he did for me. He is a really smart individual.
We are big Samoa Joe fans here on the Kurt Angle Show, and I love still seeing him get it done in the AEW ring. That's where he belongs, man. When I know you don't get to watch it as much, but you know when he and CM Punk got in the ring and faced off, because they had a series of matches back in the day for Ring of Honor that are kind of legendary among wrestling savants and people that have really followed it. That place in Chicago exploded.
I can imagine that.
Oh, it was goosebumps. And I want to see Samoa Joe in those kinds of matches more often, you know, because he can bring it.
He deserves it. Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew Podcast Network, any dream stipulation you wanted to do with Samoa Joe, like an ultimate submission match? Is there something cool like that you'd love to do with him? Would have loved to do with him.
I would have liked to do a submission match or an Ironman match. I think that Joe and I could have a really good Ironman match. I don't even think we need a lot of falls or submissions. I think maybe three at the most, which is not a lot by any means. I mean, when I wrestled Brock, we had 7 falls and submissions. So I think Samoa Joe could, and myself could pull that off with just 3.
Okay. Brian Haremza says, what were Kurt's thoughts on option C that Austin Aries used to get used to get the world title shot? Did Kurt think that this would be something that would help elevate the X division? Austin Aries here. Talk a little bit more about.
He was the X division champion. That made him give him a shot at the world title. I liked option C. I think it did help the X division. There are guys there that did deserve to be in the main event in heavyweight division, and they never got there. So, you know, you look at AJ and Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe, the history is so long with the X division, and they parlayed over to the heavyweight division. But after those guys, not many X division guys came out and went to the heavyweight division. So I think that really helped the X division by having option C.
Yeah. Now, and like you said, Brian said, did Kurt think this would be something that would help elevate the X division? The answer is yes, he did. He thought this would bring some more traction back to that. Bobby KF5 GTX, and he asked a similar question of what he did last week with Orton. Talk about working with Joe and laying out matches with Joe. Was there anything you guys ever disagreed on, or just talk about that process with Samoa Joe?
Joe and I had the best chemistry. We always threw our 2 cents worth in. And we were always agreeable. I mean, if there was an idea that Joe liked, I liked it too. If there was an idea that I liked, Joe liked it too. We were more compatible than any other wrestlers, even more than AJ Styles and myself. Samoa Joe and I, it was almost like we were frickin' frack. Like we were related, you know, like we were twins because we thought the same way. We both had the same ideas, and the same concepts.
You talked about the story where you first met Joe. Did you guys ever hang out outside of the ring, Kurt, or anything like that? Did you guys ever spend some time with each other besides in the
sports circle? We would go eat and, you know, hang out at the restaurant and have food. You know, AJ, Chris, myself, every once in a while. I didn't hang out with them too often. I was a bit of a loner in TNA, to be honest with you. And a lot of it had to do with me drinking my alcohol. I literally, after the show, I'd grab a 12-pack of beer, go back to my hotel room, drink it, pass out. That's what I did in TNA for the first couple of years. But when I was social, I hung around with Joe and had dinner with him and stuff. It was pretty cool.
And sometimes, too, that's what the other thing that you don't think about as far as what you kind of lost because of your lifestyle is, man, I could have probably had maybe some deeper friendships and relationships with guys if I wasn't living in that.
I was more social. Yeah. I would have been closer. And
instead of living in your personal friends. Hell.
Yeah. And I was an idiot.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, again, you're not anymore. And we're having fun watching Samoa Joe and his career and what he's continuing to do. And I love watching these matches back with you as far as Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. What a fantastic match again. Kurt, listen, next week we're talking TNA again. It's the beginning of the Main Event Mafia. People still talk about the Main Event Mafia.
That was the most fun I had in TNA.
Main Event Mafia days, that's 2008. So we're going to talk about that. Guys, look for the posts on social media. Throw in your questions. We want to get to them all. And Kurt and I will be back to talk about that. We mentioned it earlier, but you can check out all of Kurt's past top Impact moments at impactwrestling.com/packages. Sign up with code Kurt. So impactwrestling.com/packages and then use code Kurt. That goes a long way to help us here on the show, and we would appreciate you for that. Also, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, there's no better place to advertise than right here on The Kurt Angle Show. Go to advertisewithangle.com right now and find out more about how you can advertise your product or service right here on The Kurt Angle Show. Be a part of us. Be a part of our team, our family, and let us talk about your product or service right here on the show. We've done ads for some of the same companies over and over again, and because it works. So join the family. Jump on it. advertisewithangle.com, and we'd love to talk about your products and service. Also, ad-free shows. I mean, that's where you're going to get this podcast early and ad-free. No ads in the video version. No ads in the audio version. And we're going to give you that first week on us completely free. You'll get a ton of other podcasts as well that you have access to. And if you sign up at the right level, you're going to get a lot of bonus content that we deliver over there as well. I'm a part of some of that as well with Hall of Fame referee Mike Chioda and others. So check it out, adfreeshows.com. And again, just starts $9 a month. Kurt, social media, we are on social. You're on social. Buddy, half the time, that's how I keep up with what you're up to is social media. So check us out. You can follow him on Instagram at The Angle Pod. You can follow at The Real Kurt Angle and at Paulie Bewell. And then on Twitter at Real Kurt Angle. And YouTube, follow our YouTube channels. We're breaking records over there. YouTube.com/The Angle Pod. Subscribe, turn on those notifications, and we would love you for it here on The Kurt Angle Show. Also, it's a good way to stay in touch with if you want to meet Kurt. I have a lot of guys that reach out to me. Oh, I want to meet Kurt. I want to have him, you know, get a picture with him. I want to, you know, take a picture with him with my shirt on and point at it with the Cheers group and Paul with hair. Did you get Adam Arpin? He got his picture with you. And I'm Sam Malone with a big head of hair. And it's that brown Cheers picture. And Kurt said, I want one of those t-shirts. He sent me that. He met you last weekend. But man, Kurt's posting where he's going to be at. So you can follow his social so you know where you can meet Kurt. Kurt, you love meeting the fans, don't you?
Oh, that's why I do it. I do it to go meet with the fans, to show my appreciation, to say hello and just be able to bullshit with them. I enjoy doing these appearances. I really do.
Yeah. So check it out. Follow on social. Kurt, physicallyfit.com. Not only do you have that, let's talk about that. And let's talk about your protein. Let's go over Physically Fit first.
There's chicken snacks and Snack Smart Crispy Protein Bites. One's chicken protein, one's organic plant protein. They're both delicious. 11 different flavors. You're going to absolutely love them. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. If you use the code ANGLEPOD, you get 20% off. Or you can go on to the website and become a lifetime member and get 20% off the rest of your life. Go to physicallyfit.com. You're going to absolutely love these, I promise you.
There you go. Kurt, talk to us, too, about cookies and cream protein. Because, man, nothing better than cookies and milk with Kurt Angle.
That's right. Cookies and milk, cookies and cream protein. Kurt Angle, American Drink Cookies and Cream Protein. It's going to be in every GNC starting in mid-July. You can get it there, or you can go to projectonenutrition.com to order it. I guarantee it, it's the best tasting protein you'll ever try. Cookies and cream, you're going to love it.
Support our man, Kurt Angle, your Olympic hero, and check it out. Once you buy that first canister, I'm telling you, you'll be a repeat buyer. You're going to love it. It's a fantastic product, and it tastes delicious. Okay, so check it out. Finally, KurtAngleBrand.com. That's where you get that personalized video, those cameo videos, where for the Kurt Angle lover in your life, which we know is you, if you want the whole ball of wax, which he sells that as well, it's there. But you're getting cowboy hats, milk cartons, videos for your kids' bar mitzvahs. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
Cards, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, knick-knack, paddywhack, give the dog a bone. It's over at thekurtanglebrand.com.
T-shirts, autographed photos, the whole ball of wax. Go to kurtanglebrand.com to order yours, and I'll send it right to you.
The whole ball of wax, you hear me? Right over there, kurtanglebrand.com. And listen, check out boxofgimmicks.com while we're just plugging machines right here.
Some good merch there, too, yeah.
Dude, we got some stuff flying off the shelves. I'm going to be debuting some new T-shirts. I got the one with your cowboy hat just came in, and I got another of this version of the shirt, but gray, that I'm going to start rocking too. But man, we're starting to see some merch move, so we appreciate it. Kurt, thank you so much for doing this with me this week.
Thank you, Paul. I had a lot of fun, man.
As always, I did as well. On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell, and we will see you right back here next week talking all things Main Event Mafia right here on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.